This is Karina, and you're listening to Bold, Brown and British, a weekly podcast where we discuss what it means to be a brown person in a Western world. We've spoken about colorism, third culture identity, and dating, amongst many others in this podcast. So if this sounds like the type of content that you want to hear, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts from. You can also message us on Instagram. The handle is @BoldBrownAndBritish, or drop us an email via our website at www.boldbrownbritish.com. So without further ado, let's get on with this week's episode. Let me pose this question to you. How important is sexual compatibility in a relationship?
1,000% infinity important to me.
To me, sexual compatibility is a deal breaker. If we don't have it, then I just can't be with them. And that's just something I've learned. But, you know, it doesn't have to be important to everyone.
No.
So if you're listening and you don't think it really matters to you at all, some people, you know, sex doesn't matter to them, they're more interested in a spiritual connection, then that's absolutely fine.
Also, like, we're talking about, obviously, like, oh, I guess we have spoken a lot about sex in a relationship, but also, disclaimer, sex out of a relationship is also okay. Like, you do you, girl. You know, I'm
okay. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I remember...
discover and explore and, you know...
this idea that, oh, women can't be in friends with benefits, or they can't, you know, have one night stands because they'll get emotionally invested. And I've just kind of been like,
well, all the time.
Really?
I didn't have that experience.
Like, are you sure? Because usually it's you that's kind of come being like, so when are you free again?
Isn't it?
When am I next? I'm doing the meeting call though. You.
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely I think
that... feel free to explore.
I see casual sex as self-care.
Oh my god, yes. What did you say earlier? Self-healing. You're healing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely. Go out, have fun, and safely with protection, as I mentioned before. Definitely. But yeah, why not? There's nothing. It's how you discover what you like, isn't it? Somebody else might do something differently to the past one. And like I said, you know, every partner is really different. What I thought was how it was going to be with everyone when I met the next one clearly wasn't. So
that's why I actually enjoyed my experience of having multiple partners over a given time period, because I was able to kind of discover what I like about myself. And also each person has different ways, like different skills, like techniques, let's say. And I'm able to like download that into like a database in my brain. I'm like, oh, I could use this the next time.
Yes. Oh my God, yes.
Like picking that up one skill, like from one person, you got like 10 skills, 10 people. I'm like, yeah. And that, now I'm an expert.
Like, oh, this guy did that. I mean, I'll tell the next one to do it that way.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's nice finding out exactly what you like and what someone does for you that you like is really important.
Mm. This might be triggering for many, many males that are listening, But can we talk about protection and how that always falls on the women, please?
This subject.
Like, I swear it's been told that men can get a vasectomy. It can be reversible. There's a reversible one.
Yeah, I believe so.
I thought it was reversible always.
I don't know.
I thought it was always reversible from what I heard. Like,
and this I think it can be reversible, but your fertility, it may be varied when you... Okay. That's what I research, but obviously I'm not, well, I am a scientist, but not in that field. So please do your own research.
Well, I mean, I just know that, like, I'd say 90% of, you know, women, they're told by the partners that, oh, you have to take the pill or you have to go in it because
wearing
condoms is unacceptable.
It's just assumed that the woman...
Yeah,
it's like I was with one guy who kind of did shame me for not taking the pill. Like, they assume that we are just all on the pill, and it's like, yeah. Why would I voluntarily, if I'm not sexually active right now, why would I voluntarily want to take a pill that literally gives most women depression.
Yeah.
And just like messes up my hormonal cycle, which may be absolutely really regular and healthy.
Yeah.
And yeah. Why?
Mm. If it's just messing up a whole hormonal system versus a little bit of discomfort while you're having sex, and it's not even like really that discomfort.
The responses I've gotten when I've been like, is it really any different with a condom? They're like, oh my god, yes, the pleasure's just half, you can't feel anything. And I'm like, really?
No, but some guys do like using a condom because it means that they can last longer.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had guys who actually prefer it.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for them,
especially if they last longer.
Yeah,
you just last a while.
You can get the ones with like the ribbed. Is it the ribbed edges? Ooh, apparently they're nice.
I haven't tried those.
Yeah, they're like they've got little bumps on them. That's supposed to be good for friction.
Nice.
We're all going to be like on Amazon.
I'm going to go get some erotica ribbed condoms. Yeah, all the good stuff here. That's what I don't like, is that the assumption that everybody's on the pill or has some sort of protection in place already, whether it's the coil or implant, whatever, and that if you're not on it, they're like, oh well, I'll just pull out then. And I'm like,
oh my god,
no. Or yeah, you can just take the morning after pill.
They're gonna pay for it.
So flippant and so like, without a care. It's just like, oh well, you can do that. So
that's just neglected female health for you.
Exactly. This is the thing. They're not educated. They don't do the research. They just assume, oh well, that's what women do, so that's what they'll do. I mean, luckily the people that I've been with have been very careful and mindful about stuff like that. But some are just like,
if any man that I've been with has ever displayed outward kind of shame or just discomfort around me saying, I won't go on the pill, or I won't do this, that, and the other, I immediately just say, well, do you want my kids? Like, I'm going to have your kids. Like, are you going to pay for it? Are you going to do this? And they're just like, shut up. They just feel so uncomfortable even more. They're just like, oh, okay. Maybe yeah, she's right.
Exactly. Yeah. They don't think about that, do they?
Like, I am not having your children today.
No.
Whatever with that mentality.
No. Maybe I will have your children and then you take half your money.
Yeah.
What about that? Do you like alternatives? That's fine.
They don't think that far ahead. They only think past the bedroom and that's it. They don't think about the aftermath of it.
Because legally they do have to pay. If I have a child and he doesn't want nothing to do with it, they do have to pay for it.
Keep that in mind, whoever's listening.
Yeah.
Also, like, obviously, we're not man bashing here. Like, this
unfortunately comes from our own experiences.
Yeah, exactly. And I think also the focus is female pleasure here, right? It's not an anti-men pleasure. Because also, as I said, it's about compatibility. The right person will also ideally have the similar sex drive to you, probably enjoy the same sort of things, or at least be open to trying the same sort of things as you would be, and kind of you can form at most a sort of compromise, right?
Exactly. There's definitely attempting and wanting to find middle ground that suits both of you.
Yeah. I think it's really important to have these discussions about sex out of the bedroom as well, like in general conversation.
Yeah.
If there's something because when you're in the moment, sometimes it's a bit awkward, or if you're not that comfortable with them yet, then, saying that you want to do this or you want to do that. Sometimes when it's out of the bedroom, it can be less threatening maybe, and less, affecting the ego of the other person. And just kind of explain, oh, I like this, or I liked it when you did that. Can you do that again? Or can we try this? Or I read about this, let's,
because I know some people who don't like talking about sex before the bedroom because they think it ruins it, but it actually brings for really good kind of sexual tension.
Yeah.
Like talking about it beforehand. Yeah. And I think, you made a good point in saying, a quote that I like to live by is, if you can't talk about sex outside of the bedroom, you shouldn't be inside of the bedroom at all.
Mm, true.
Yeah, definitely. And again, like also, if you're talking about mood killers, if you're in the bedroom, you're in that moment, the last thing you want to do is be like, let me give you a tutorial of what I like and what I don't like, right? Like, that can be a mood killer if you're having to have that lengthy conversation in that moment. Whereas if you had that conversation of what you might want to try, what you might want to do, the chance that they'll probably just do it because they know you've had that conversation. They know that, you know, this is something you really enjoy or want to try, or conversely, something you definitely don't enjoy. So they know that, okay, this, you know, this thing is a no-go.
It just makes the experience way more enjoyable for both parties. And I have told many a man beforehand, do not push my head down. Just tell me what to do. I'll do it. But don't do that.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, because, again, that's like the whole like 50 Shades thing where they assume that that's what everybody will like.
No, I'm dying. Like, I can't breathe. Yes, I did.
Fine line. Breathing and not breathing.
This is so sexy. I can't breathe.
If you are a guy that's into choking, please make sure that you're not suffocating the girl. Yeah.
Yes.
It's all about
have a safe word too.
Yes.
I love safe. Yeah, safe words. Good.
Safe word. Yeah. You now do not want someone throwing up on you.
Oh, God.
Not in that.
Well, some people are into that.
Oh, okay, some might like that. Okay, no judgment at all. Some might like that. But
I had a friend's partner who preferred it when the girl like peed on him.
Oh, yeah.
So
I've actually been requested to do that before. I was just like, well, I don't really get the urge to do that while I'm having sex, so. Might not happen.
What about sex on your period?
Oh, love it.
I feel icky doing it because I'm like, I'm just an OCD, like a bit of a neat freak. So I'd just be like, but it'll get messy and it's gross and it's going to go everywhere. I'd
towels.
Have
you need to have towels.
Yeah, just put a towel down. It's so, I feel like it's so feminist. I'm just like, yes.
Yeah,
I am with you.
No, the guys I've been with have been okay with it. They've liked it. They don't mind it. These are obviously grown ass adult men who are not squeamish about stuff like that.
Well, yeah, like to be fair, like I've not had a guy being against it.
Yeah,
I think it's a me thing more than they'd be like, yeah, it doesn't matter, it's fine, and I'm like, no, wait, hold up there.
Again, that's you know, whatever you're comfortable
with. Yeah, exactly. So I like to credit to them that they're not the ones being like, ew, you're on your period, you know.
The problem is often that my drive is higher then.
Yes, that is
so true. Then I'm like, well, I need some help.
Women usually get turned on more during their period. It's actually been shown, like, sex during your period has been shown to reduce period cramps and mood and
that is true.
Headaches
as well, it helps with headaches.
That does remind me of a really cheesy pickup line where somebody was like, oh, I want to give you a headache minus the ache, and I'm like,
I love that.
So I was like, I will be storing that in my.
I'm going to store that one as well. Remind me of that.
I wouldn't mind the ache either the next day.
Oh, the ache's actually quite nice sometimes, isn't it?
No,
what do you know? You know you've had a good session then.
Like a good souvenir.
I'm like, ache so much, I'm thinking about you.
Oh my God, talking about that, have you ever had it where you're like, you're just at, well, obviously pre-COVID, but like you're at work and suddenly you just think about like, oh, I wonder what would happen if a guy was like kissing my neck or doing this. And you're like, this is so inappropriate. I'm in literally.
Oh my God, yes. Oh, and then the sex flashbacks.
Oh, yes.
Come back to haunt you. Oh. And you're like, oh, yeah, especially when they happen at work. So inappropriate. I'm like, oh. Yeah, back to work. Sorry, what?
Focus.
You're talking to me.
Focus on the very boring meeting at hand.
Oh my God. BRB, to think about sex.
No, I, you're all like, yes.
Somebody directly talking to me. And to be fair, like, I had no interest in what they were. They were like, you know, here are our financials. And I was like, sex. I've also had, well, I had a crush on a guy at work, so I was just like,
oh, so you were completely you, there specifically. All the time.
Crush on a guy at work, he ended up being gay. That was a bit awkward.
Oh no.
But he, I told him, I basically went on a work social and I told him that I fancied him, and he was like, I'm gay. And then he used to tease me about it at work. He would walk, obviously it was a joke. He didn't stay away from me or think it was creepy. He thought it was funny. So at work he would be like, okay, I'm just gonna walk away. You can like look at me when I walk away. I was like, oh my god. And then I told him that my favorite part of him was I love blue eyes. He was just like, so he'd come up to me and be like, so, you know, what's your favorite part of me? My eyes, yeah. Like, I'm just going to look at you in your eye. I'm just like, oh, God.
You were, it could have been a different part of you, but alas, sticking to the eyes. Twinkly eyes, get me, man. Twinkly eyes and a smile.
Oh, like, oh, a voice. A voice can really turn me on.
Yes, I mean, like, there's so many elements. There's phone sex. There's this is not, this podcast is not long enough.
No. We're all going to need to get some after this.
Yeah. Oh gosh, now I'm thinking that it's been a while. It's been a few months of torture.
Do you guys enjoy phone sex? Because I've always felt like I'm always very awkward doing it. So I'm always like, I'm the classic case of the guys like, yeah, you know, I'm really into it. And I'm sitting there like, what are you wearing? And I'm sitting there in like joggers and hoodie being like,
oh yeah,
oh, almost nothing, baby.
I've done that before. Yeah.
I used to be really into it. And then all of a sudden this year, or maybe the year, I've lost my groove. I just don't know what to do now. So I just let him do it.
In a while, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe I'm just in my head now. It just feels really cheesy. I wish I had my mojo back, but I don't know
what it's like. You have to think about what you're gonna say and then type it, and then kind of, are you gonna do something at the same time? Because it's
that's like every guy explains like phone, like the text sexting differently. Like some guys send me like massive essays and like paragraphs, like everything's in detail, and some guys are just like way too blunt, and I'm just like, can we find the middle ground?
Yeah, I have had the like the very blunt, this is what I want to do to you. I'm like, okay, let's work up to that though. Yeah,
penis
like,
in vagina. Yeah. Yes,
yeah, lovely. Yeah.
Or even better, like I've just had peach emoji, aubergine emoji, and I'm like, okay.
You want to describe what's happening there?
Like when I said I'm a visual person, that is not what I meant.
For phone sex, I think it can be a bit awkward, and because you have to describe it, isn't it? So vocally describing it is a little bit, I do find that a little bit awkward. In person, though, no, not awkward at all.
I used to be in my head even in person, whereas, you know, in terms of, I guess, expressing myself, I'd be very kind of conscious and like, what if I'm, you know, too loud? What if I'm not doing this right? And very much in my head as well. And I think it does take the right partner to be like, yeah, screw this.
Yeah, I mean, it's the comfortable that you feel, yeah.
But like going back to sex within, I guess, South Asian communities, has anyone ever felt, I guess, sexualized or like fetishized by, you know, certain groups of people within the UK as a result of being an Indian woman? Do people like see you a certain way or submissive? And
I haven't come across that. I've had the whole like, oh, you're exotic.
Mm.
I don't know what that means. Like, mm-hmm. Okay. I've had it both ways. So I've had people assume that I'm not that adventurous at all. Like, you know, yeah. Where I'm very conservative. Where I've had people being like, oh, your people invented the Kama Sutra, so you must be really into it. And I'm like,
that's what's also weird. We've invented the Kama Sutra and yet sex is so taboo. Like, yes. We have a book on sex.
Isn't it?
And it's also not male-centered. Like, there's positions for everyone.
Everyone there. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is bizarre. That's worth looking into why suddenly the whole culture became repressed.
I don't think it was not repressed. I think it was always repressed. because from memory, the Kama Sutra was invented as a kind of a hippie way of like medicinal healing, basically. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of like, yeah, like, you know, Ayurveda ways, or you could have sex. How comfortable were you like to start exploring that? Because for me, again, that self-judgment thing where it was like, it was wrong to do so, you know, you're not, the idea that you weren't allowed to. So I guess, how did you guys kind of navigate that?
I never felt any shame about that, to be honest. Okay. I think it was more just, yeah, I never felt any shame because it's such something that's so private. It's mm-hmm. just between you and yourself that you don't really have the judgment. I never felt the judgment of other people because they were excluded out of the narrative altogether. So it was just my time with myself.
I think for me, a bit of both. I think there was a bit of shame at some point in time, probably to do with like sex in general perception, and the religious aspect of it coming in. And then I think probably in my 20s, I became a bit more comfortable and okay with it. And I feel like this is okay. But again, didn't talk about it to anybody. Now I talk about it a lot to people all the time.
I bought my first sex toys probably a few years ago, and oh my god, changed my life.
Yes, they do. I didn't buy one until I was a year before leaving the long-term relationship, and I was like, why have I not bought one before? God. And I hid
there's
it.
There's only so much a pillow can do, ladies.
I actually I bought the sex toys hoping that my partner and I at the time would explore said, mm-hmm. you know, explore the use of sex toys. But I guess some people like can find it emasculating.
Mm-hmm.
Like some guys can think that, you know, they're inadequate, or, you know, they can be quite, I guess, envious, or,
yeah,
you know, they wish that they could do that and
can't compete.
Yeah. But unfortunately, like, you don't vibrate like that.
Well, I'd be very worried if you did.
Yeah.
As we enjoy both, they're two different experiences, and you shouldn't let
one
just feel like you're inadequate, because we enjoy both. They all have a place at the table.
They do, yes. We like to change it up sometimes.
And also, it'll probably, as you said, like, it'll probably work out better for the both of you, because most women don't climax from penetration.
Mm.
Yeah. So she probably needs something else. You know, if you, I was going to say if you cared about her satisfaction, but then I realized not many people do. So
some guys, you know, you'd be surprised. Like, I think everyone's just different. Like, I've had some guys who have been, you know, super, I don't really care. But most guys have been, I guess, the type of guys who do have high sex drives most likely are into pleasing their partner and wanting her to feel a certain way.
Have you ever been in a position where someone or your partner has asked you to do something and you're not uncomfortable with it in that way, but you're just like, oh, I've never tried that, and I'm not sure if I am into that?
Yeah, but he said it in a way that was, it wasn't even a question. It was just like, I would love it if you did this. It wasn't a, how do you feel about this? There's a way of asking a question that makes, you know, her come up with her own decision and actually think about it, compared to, I want you to do this. Or wouldn't it be so hot if you did this? But I don't know. Yeah, I have had that. And I actually wasn't going to meet up with him because I felt uncomfortable doing that. But in the end, I messaged him just being honest and vulnerable. I just said, hey, I know you want me to do this, but I feel uncomfortable doing it. Could we just do this instead? Like, how do you feel about this? And he was like, that's fine. Like, whatever you're comfortable with, like, we'll just chill. And I think in those moments, it really taught me that it's so important to have communication, compassion, and not just assume that all guys, you know, just don't care or just care about themselves, because that experience is
not true.
Exactly. Like that experience definitely showed me that if you are vulnerable and share how you feel, that it can lead to a really safe and you know, comforting environment where you do care about each other, you know, and respect each other's sexual needs.
Yeah, and it, which makes it all the more better.
Yeah, and like sex,
and you'd be more willing then to try other things.
Yeah, and like out of everything, sex should be a safe space where you should be able to talk about, you know, your preferences, your likes, dislikes, or whatever. That is, that it should be a platform, or it should be a, as I said, a space where you can be transparent, where you shouldn't feel like you have to pretend to be anything that you're not, because it is something that is so personal to you and to you, to your relationship. And something that I strongly stand by is, and this, I guess this is more of advice to the ladies and to the males and to men out there, stop talking about your sex life to your friends. You know, like, and I mean that, like, obviously an element of that is just going to be you being transparent and open, then that's fine. But I'm talking about more like, he did this and that and this, and this is specifically how it went down. And oh my God, I can't believe he likes this. And, you know, you almost shame your partner without them being there to your friends. And that's what I'm not okay with, because when he said that to you, he was being very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't want that to be the other way around. You know, you wouldn't want to be like, oh my God, you know, this chick that I was with, exactly, he likes this, and oh, ha, 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 it's so funny.
Mm.
It shouldn't, that conversation is between you two, and it should remain between you two.
Yeah, I completely respect that.
Yeah.
So stop comparing penis sizes, ladies. Okay, stop it.
Does it matter? Well, does it matter about the size?
I've had a micro penis before.
You've had a
I haven't had one. I've witnessed.
I didn't catch that. What did you say?
I've seen a micro penis before.
Oh, okay.
But we're not shaming. It's not their fault.
Okay.
It's just a like interesting anomaly. So I thought I'd, you know, share. All size matters.
Yeah, but to be fair, like I've had it the other way around, where I've had a friend who've been like, listen, I'm pretty sure that's too big.
I would worry about being something being too big, because I think it would hurt.
Yeah, and I think like I've definitely made this joke where I was like, listen, I mean, when I said it's a way to my heart, not through there.
I'm good with an average.
Yeah, there are other factors. I'm just going to leave it there. There are other factors that come in.
I think it's just the overall average. Like, you may have a small dick, would be great with his mouth. So yeah,
exactly. You know, the package deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely. It is definitely all about.
Just going back to, I've just remembered, just going back to when you said, has anybody asked you to do anything that you've been uncomfortable or something? I had someone who I was casually seeing, and before we met, we talked very extensively about what we liked and what we disliked, what we liked done, and you know, all of that. And he said a couple of things that I that I'd never really thought about before. And when he was explaining it, I was like, okay, yeah, we could maybe try it. And we did. And then I was just like, love it now. So it's quite interesting when you're like, you can be dead against something at one point, but then with another person, it can be completely different. And I found that very interesting. And I was like, okay, now I'm going to be more open to experiencing and, you know, trying new things, because maybe I will like it, maybe I won't.
I always say to myself, I will try everything once, because who knows, it could be my thing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You don't know until you try.
Yeah. Even the things that people say, oh, that's really extreme, or, you know, kinks and fetishes. I'm like, I don't care what other people like, what they like. If I feel it at one point, then I'll try it if somebody asks.
Yeah, no one should be kink shaming. I'm a strong believer.
Exactly. Yeah. So
Or vanilla shaming.
Or vanilla shaming.
No shame.
Vanilla sex is good too sometimes.
Yeah.
All sex is good.
But again, it's just about compatibility. Depends on the marriage, right? Like, it depends on what you're into and what your partner is into. Mm-hmm. Like if you are someone who is so-called vanilla and just likes, you know, the standard ways of doing things and your partner isn't, that's going to be a problem. Whereas if you're, you know, if you're someone who is like, okay, I'm vanilla and your partner is vanilla, that's a great relationship. You're compatible. You're gonna rock your houses on fire, okay, because that's what works for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And as Kajal likes to say, try before you buy.
Oh my, oh
my god,
I love that so much. I was like, yes girl, yes. Thank you for putting that out there. You have to. Yeah, like especially from my own previous experience, definitely try
before. I mean, I said that statement on the basis of my own personal experience, where I would definitely recommend everyone to try them before they're buying.
I was like, she's singing to me there.
brought that on for you to be like, screw this, I'm gonna put this on like
TikTok.
TikTok and say it, you know, and be like, this has got to stop.
I mean, the lady who said the video beforehand was saying how women should wait until marriage because, you know, she'll be respected more. She was like, I'm waiting till marriage and I don't get treated terribly by men. And I'm just like, you can still have sex and still be treated you can have no sex and still be treated terrible by men, sorry. Mm. You can be abstinent and men can still like emotionally abuse you, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, her statements are just so false and are like glorifying purity and thinking that it's just going to be magical. And I think that definitely like triggered me, like thinking about my own experience, and was like, no, this is not okay. I think that if women want to have sex and they enjoy sex, then they shouldn't be shamed about it and they shouldn't be treated as less than, and just embrace who you are and be yourself. So yeah, that kind of like instigated me in wanting to respond to this video and making that statement of try before you buy, and compatibility is important in the bedroom.
Yeah, and now you're viral.
Yeah,
now I'm viral. I was very surprised. I was like, well, okay.
No, it was brilliant.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's kind of how I kind of, I guess, came across you. And then I was like, let me stalk this girl, she sounds fun.
Thanks.
Whereas I think Lena's favorite one was the elastic band. I am in love.
Because I'm not gonna lie to you, I did go through a phase where I thought that we do stretch out and, you know, oh, I can't have too much sex or I can't use toys too much because I'm gonna just get so big and like never go back to normal. But that's just a myth, that's not even real. It's just something we're shameful, like literally, unless you're having very extreme, intensive, just out of this world sex like all the time, you were most likely just going to go back to your original shape.
Yeah.
So that's just something that, again, men or society have created to shame women further in thinking, yeah, that if they have more sex, they're going to be loose. But that's just not true. Mm-hmm. Like, are women shamed for being loose after they give birth to a baby?
Yeah, exactly. No.
Like, yeah. And then everything seems to, like, you know, obviously in some cases they don't, but for the most part, women do tend to go back to their and heal back to their original kind of form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, again, it just comes back to, just because you enjoy it or you've had it doesn't make you impure or less than. And this idea that that people that are abstinent are superior is just wrong. Like,
yeah,
that we should step away from that. And also, we get enough judgment from society and from men. We do definitely do not need it from other women.
No.
So, yeah, but that's up to, well, it's up to everyone, but it's also up to, you know, women to have that responsibility and unlearning their own internalized misogyny and being like, I'm not gonna slut shame that woman for wearing that outfit. I'm not gonna say she asked for it. I'm not gonna say, oh my god, she's showing her cleavage, like, what does that mean? It's like, just let them wear what they want to wear. If she feels great, leave her alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
everyone's just trying to live the best life. You know,
exactly.
I'm gonna wrap this particular podcast up, just because I can go on for days, but
go on and on and on for this,
on and on. Like, there's just so many nuances.
That wasn't even getting into the nitty gritty of it.
That was just a very generic.
That was just very surface level.
Yes, definitely.
If you would like part two, please subscribe. I'm going to take your line. Please subscribe. Yes,
do it. Tell us the line, Lena. Go.
If you'd like part two, please subscribe to this podcast.
We're available on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher.